about that.
Yeah, 161.
161, yeah.
Okay, page 66. As on the cross the Savior hung and wept and bled and died, it bore salvation on the wretch that languished at his side. His crimes with him were grief and shame. The
Thank you.
I can say.
Page 96?
Yeah. Solid one.
Oh, okay, solid one. Thank you.
Yes. Glad.
The solid rock, you don't have any black ones, it's 203 in red.
Yes, sir.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence and the effort you've made to come out and worship with us at the Reedsville House of Worship. It's a wonderful day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. Excuse me. It's a wonderful day when we can assemble ourselves together to worship. God is worthy of our worship. And we have a wonderful mediator by which we can go to him. It's only through our mediator that we can approach God. If it wasn't for Jesus, his son, who would mediate it between us, there'd be no hope for poor sinners. We just could not approach a thrice holy God. But Jesus, who suffered for us in our room instead, and fulfilled the law for us in every jot and tittle to the satisfaction of his heavenly Father, has made the way open for us that we might approach unto God through the righteousness of Christ, our Savior and our mediator. And we appreciate the opportunity today with you, we trust, to approach the great throne of grace and worship our God and our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Without the Spirit of God in us and with us and for us, we could do nothing. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit is spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank God we have the truth, and I trust we have the Spirit this morning, for which we're thankful. We're also thankful to have Brother Johnny Duggins with us this morning. He said that he had looked it up. It was 2 years to the day since he's been here. And I'm glad that he's here. Thought maybe he had forsaken us. 2 years is a long time. And we're glad to have Sister Duggins too. And so we're going to ask Brother Keith there if he's got a song we'll sing. And 175 in the Red Book, Old School Hymnal. And we'll endeavor to go to the Lord in prayer. And my voice is pretty low, so I'll continue to stand. My preferred stance in prayer is on my knees. And when I pray at home, on my knees. And I trust I'm in my heart, I'm on my knees today. But I've had people complain that they can't hear me because my voice is low, so I'll stand while I endeavor to offer prayer, and I trust that you will be praying with me and for me and for Brother Johnny as we endeavor to worship the Lord. Sing, brethren, when you're ready.
There is a place of quiet rest, near to the heart of God. Our ways within
Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence with hearts of thanksgiving. to praise thy great and wonderful name, and for the privilege of assembling ourselves together again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we read that blessed are they that assemble in his name, and where two or three are gathered together in his name, there, said he, am I in the midst. And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy presence this morning. We thank thee, dear Lord, for thy sanctifying grace that has set us apart, if not deceived in our hearts, to the worship and the praise and unto thy service. Lord, how we love thee and desire to serve thee. And we realize, Lord, that we are miserable failures in many ways to serve thee as I ought and should be served. And yet, our Father, we desire to praise thy name and to serve thee in thy church and in thy kingdom here in the world. We thank you, dear Lord, for the lot and the part that thou hast given us in thy kingdom, realizing, O Lord, that in our nature we could not see thy kingdom, nor could we see the kingdom of heaven, for because it's within the hearts of thy dear children. But by thy marvelous grace and spirit, and by the gift of faith which thou hast given us, we can see those things that are unseen to the natural eye, and lay hold of those things that we could not by nature in thy kingdom. Lord, how we thank thee and desire to worship thee again this day. We pray, Lord, that thou will meet with us and bless us. Give us, O Lord, the leadership of thine unerring spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you, dear Lord, that Brother Johnny had a mind to come and to be with us today. We pray, Lord, that thou would give him the liberty of his calling. Lead his mind into a fertile field, that he might, O Lord, lift up thy name, edify thy dear people, and we might rejoice in a Savior's love. Lord, we ask for thy mercy and grace to those that are sick and afflicted and has asked an interest in the prayers of this church and in our prayers. Lord, we pray that thou would be merciful to them for thy name's sake and righteousness' sake. Lord, we pray for the rulers and the leaders of our country and our state and our cities and those that are in places of authority over us that thou hast ordained. Lord, we pray that thou would give them a mind to look unto thee and to call upon thee and to govern according to that, O Lord, which thou dost approve of. We pray for our sons and daughters on foreign ground, O Lord, as protecting our liberties here in this great country that thou hast given us. Lord, we pray thou would bless them and be with them, for we ask these mercies in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and amen.
Pray for me. Certainly hope we are thankful to be blessed to come and be with you again. You people don't need me, but I need you. And right now, as Brother Draper's prayed, I need your prayers. I was thinking while Brother Draper was praying, this beautiful sunlight we see this morning, excuse me, and the refreshing rain showers we had yesterday, how can people not believe in the miracles of God? Reading an article the other week where they claim people under 30 years old, about 50% of them believe that when this body dies, that's the end of everything. That's not what this nation was set up on. That's not what I believe. That's not what this Bible teaches. In Titus, I'll get out of the way in just a minute, let Brother Draper come and preach to you. In the second chapter, this is what was on my mind most of the morning, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And you know, our denomination, and denomination is not mentioned in the Bible, but our people believe that God did choose a people in the elements of time, that he gave them to his son, and that his son died for them. And when you get to the part there where it says hope, you mentioned that you have a hope in something, a lot of people laugh at you. Well, if I just had a hope, I wouldn't have anything. What is a hope? The dictionary says hope is expectation. And what is your expectation today? Is it that you might be rich in this life, that you might have all the luxuries of this life, or is it that you might have a home in heaven? That's my expectation, and how do you get it? There's only one way. I hear Abraham when he took Isaac to pray for me. There's nothing I'd rather feel than the glorious delivering spirit of Almighty God to be enabled for just a moment or two to lift the bloodstained banner of King Emmanuel and wave it gently over Israel. You know, Isaiah said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Nowhere did he say that it was Isaiah's people, but my people. Who? God's people. I believe that God did choose a people that would, not might, maybe, or could on their labors of their hands, but that they will dwell with him in heaven and immortal glory. And I hear Abraham saying when he took Isaac up there to offer him up, he said, Father, we've got the fire and we've got the wood, but where is the offering? He knew under the law there had to be a bloodshed offering, but I hear the old servant of old saying, God will prepare himself an offering. What revealed it to him? I believe the same power revealed it to him that I hope revealed it to me, that the Lord sent a virgin there. We find the same Isaiah, that a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I believe that he did do that thing, and I believe that someday that he will carry them to be with him in glory. We find that from time to time, there's many people, they have all kind of ideas and all kind of illusions about this thing, but God has a perfect plan of salvation, and he never has changed it, and he never will change it. I know other people, they try to say this and do this, but you know, the God that spoke, the Bible says, in the beginning God spoke, and things begin to appear, and thanks be to God, when that God begins to send the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to your sin-sick heart. I hear David saying that blessed is he that hears the prayer of the destitute. Have you ever been where you felt like, and what does destitute mean? That you don't have anything, that you stand in need. Have you ever been to the prayer, as the brother mentioned in one of the songs there, how that the thief on the right side began to pray to the Lord Jesus, and people talk about that they don't believe that, but you take we find that let's go back just a little farther to where that this God of miracle, he spoke to an old servant of old there. He said that he even repented that he had made man. He began to tell Noel what to do, and I don't have time to get into that. But then they saved him there. The same thing that saved Noel and his family destroyed the others. But we find that this God of miracles, he sent a little lad down in Egypt there called Joseph, because he knew what was going in front of him. And I'm glad of one thing, that little lad was sent down there, and we won't go into all of that, but as he was raised up there to next to the old king, you know what all he went through. I can see him sometimes as his brethren put him on that camel, selling him down into a strange country there, and he could look back and he'd say, that's all right. He could remember those dreams that God had given him. He could remember the coat of many colors that his father had given him. But when that he got down there and there was give the best land that there was, the land of Goshen there, and what did it do? The scriptures tells us plainly
that they worship God for a little while, but they soon begin to forget him, and they was come under bondage of the Egyptian people as they put on more tasks and more. But I hear the writer saying that out of Egypt have I heard the cries of my people, and I am come down to deliver them. There was somebody remembered this great God, this miracle worker, and we won't get in all of that, but you know, when they got to the point, and you know the world says now that God, if he didn't manifest himself to everyone, that he'd be an unjust God. Well, he spoke to those Israelites. He told Moses, he said, you take one without spot, one without blemish, and let the whole assembly slay this animal, and place it, place their blood in a vessel, and sprinkle it on the lintels, and on the dander post, on the door post, on either side. And he told him what he's going to do for tonight. I'm going to send the deaf angel over, and you know how it goes. I won't go into that, but you know, then he said, let the whole assembly slay this animal, and to prepare the meat for a peace, for a feast. You tell my people, put on the sandals, and put on their garments, and be ready to travel. What's he saying? We're going to move out of this land of Egypt. But when they heard the death of all these, the next morning, while these Israelites over here, they're singing, and they're rejoicing, they're having a feast. I can hear the Egyptians saying, oh, king, let them go. At least we all die. And they traveled some 40 years there in the wilderness. You can't find where the shoes were out. You can't find where the garments were out. You can't find where they're them in need, where God didn't supply it. The Bible says that it rained down the manna, and they say that the manna was as great wafers. Those people had never seen it before. They didn't know what it was, but they knew if they didn't get it, that they'd starve to death. Neither did you or I know what the marvelous grace of Almighty God was until it was manifested to us. And then we had a love and a desire that if we didn't get it, that we'd die, and our just reward would be eternal judgment and damnation. But are not you glad that great Samaritan came to the rescue? And we find that when that they got to the Red Sea, they begin to mumble, they begin to grumble, the sea in front and the mountains on either side. Here comes the Egyptians unto me. I don't have time to get into that, but you take that he told Moses, you tell my people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What was the salvation? It was deliverance. And he told them that when, and you know, our scientists up until a few years ago, they said in that time that probably, and I'm glad they used the word probably, that the sea was just a few inches deep. Well, let's leave that there just a minute. But you know, the Bible says that God sent the wind, and he walled the sea up as great walls of glass, and the children of Israel traveled through, and you can't find where there was one lost at all in it. And you'll not find on the glorious resurrection day where one of God's subjects that Jesus died for on Calvary's cross and set them from under the bondage of sin and guilt will be lost. They will be in that number. I think about over there. Let's go just a minute, Brother Draven. I'll get out of your way here. But we find over in the book of Luke, you know, when Jesus was born there, and they went up to offer up for their taxes there. And the scripture says that they left assuming that he was among their families. And that's contrary to the mothers to leave their children. But the scripture says they went a three-day journey. And when they came back, where did they find Jesus? They found him in the temple. And what does the temple mean? They found him in the church. And what did they find him doing? The scripture said that he was, he walked in the temple there. Can you picture just a minute with me how that a little lad, 7 years old, walked into the temple there among the lawyers and the doctors. And the scripture says they begin to ask him questions, and he began to ask them questions. And I hear him saying this, son, where did you come from? They was amazed, this little lad there in the midst. I can hear Jesus saying, on my mother's side, I come from a little place called Nazareth, where nothing good had come from before. But on my father's side, I came from heaven and water glory. I can see those men look at him. Who are you kidding? They didn't know what he's talking about. But I hear him saying this as they begin to question him and talk to him there and begin to ask him, what's your name? My name is Jesus on my mother's side. On my father's side, my name is Emmanuel there. And they begin, no doubt, to ask him, what was he going to do? Son, what you going to do? I, on my mother's side, Joseph, I'll probably be a carpenter. I'll probably mash my hands. And they'll probably hurt like does yours did. But on my father's side, I came for a work that no man has ever walked the face of the earth could do. I'm going to redeem my people from the bondage of sin and guilt. I'm going to shed my blood on Calvary's cross to set them free. I'm going to set up a church on this earthly tabernacle for my people to gather together as we have today to rejoice, sing praises to God. Son, how long is it going to take? Well, on my mother's side, I'll just live 33 years. But on my father's side, I'll live on forever. And no doubt, they didn't ask him, where are you going to die? I'm going to die on an old rugged cross. I'm going to be nailed up to the cross. I'm going to be treated as shameful as humanly possible. But I'm going to suffer it. And you find that when that man was on the right and the left, they begin to inquire there. And the one on the left, if you be the Christ, save us, save yourself, and save us, that we, well, he didn't want to die. He knew he was guilty of his sins there. But you know, the one on the right-hand side, he had something else revealed to him there, because he said, let's don't rail this man. He's done nothing to me. It's both of them had heard the great miracles that Jesus had done. They'd heard how he spoke to Lazarus, how that he came forth out of the tomb. They'd heard how that he gave the lame strength to walk. They'd heard how he restored the eyesight. They'd heard all these wonderful miracles. But the one on the right addressed him a little different. As the song said, when you come into your kingdom, how did he know he had a kingdom? It was revealed to him just like it was to you. And I hope to me that he had an eternal kingdom. When you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus didn't tell him he had to do anything to receive this gift. But he said, this day thou shalt dwell with me in paradise. And you know, when that we found and they began to question him about that, no doubt, how long is it going to take you? And he told him there, but he said, I'm going to be buried in a barred tomb. But that's all right. I don't need it, but 3 days and three nights, my father's going to raise me out of that tomb, and I'm going to raise. And aren't you glad today, my friends, that he did raise him from that tomb? Not only did he raise him, but he gave us evidence that there was life beyond this life. We only had hope up until that time. But when he come forth, you know, go back to where he spoke to Lazarus. Lazarus, when he was born there, when he was laying in the grave, bound in grave clothes, he called him and said, come forth. And then he told the men that was there, you loosen his bound, loosen him and let him go. But when Jesus came out of the tomb, loosened those grave clothes. The Bible says that he neatly folded them and placed them in the grave. There came out victorious over death, hell in the grave. Give us evidence that there was life beyond this grave. And I'm glad of one thing, that if I never see you again in this life, that I have a hope, I have an expectation that the miracle, a work of God, of this tabernacle of clay, he told that old servant, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand what he's talking about, but you, as Brother Draper mentioned, have got to be born again, that spiritual birth. And when that comes about, it'll cause this old fleshly heart to see different. It'll cause you to want things different. It'll cause you to have a desire, as you have this morning, to come and worship the Lord and to thank him. And my prayer to God is this, and my hope is that on that glorious resurrection morning, people tell me every day that they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're going to heaven. I don't, and I don't think you do either, because there's no way that one man can look on that book of life that's names written written in that Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm glad that it is the Lord Jesus himself. And when I believe this, when the last heir of promise, that's name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the last one that he died for on Calvary's cross, says, Lord, as that man on the cross did, Lord, remember me. There'll be no more need for him to keep the church he set up here on earth. I believe then he'll look over to God the Father and say, Father, that's the last one you give me. That's the last one I died for. Now let's bring him home. You talking about, people talk about homecomings. We have them now, but part of our family's gone. But that day, the whole family of God will be resurrected from the grave. Tell that old gable angel, you blow that trumpet. He's going to blow it with such a power. It's going to shake the heavens. It's going to shake this old Mother Earth with such a power that it'll take the dust that God formed Adam out of and form all of his subjects of grace. And he's going to send back the soul and spirit to reunite them. And you know the potter, he made a vessel. He looked on that vessel. He saw a great mar in it. The great potter, Jehovah God, I'm glad he looked on this tabernacle of clay and he saw a mar in it. But he taken the same clay and made another vessel. God's going to take the same clay. He's going to make another vessel that's going to be this old body, this old mortal, put on immortality, this old body, put on incorruption, be resurrected. And the Bible says, given a body, a fashion likened unto Christ. You tell me how Christ looks, I can tell you how you look. We don't know, but I have an expectation on that glorious resurrection morning when he comes back with the angels singing that holy hymn, welcome home, blessed us, living God, and be carried. People talk about they're going to heaven. If they go to heaven, they'll be carried there by the same power that carried Jesus back. And I'm looking forward to that day when the power of Almighty God comes with a great power, a cloud of receiving of the saints of God to dwell with him in glory. I want to, and I hope, and I pray they'll give me a little more evidence. A long life's journey. I get so lonesome. I get so discouraged. Lord, will you help me today? I plead to him every day and every night. Not bragging, but when I walk out every morning, I look heavenward. It don't matter what kind of weather it is. Thank you, Lord. You give me another day, but I want to be able to walk in the portals of heaven and mortal glory and see the one that died for me, that loved me and carried me to glory to be with him, and say, thank you, Lord, that your Father gave me to you, and that you love me. You came to earth, you died for me, and you brought me home to be with you in glory forever. May God bless you. Come on, Brother Draper, and preach to
him. I just can't get more.
I thought you were making good progress. Brother John has told us a whole lot there in a short while. You spoke about a homecoming. It makes me think of, I'd like to see a homecoming like he's talking about. I'm looking forward to it. There'll be a place where there'll be no sin and no sorrow, no death, no sickness. I was looking at two or three different scriptures here this morning, and I think I'll start with 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, and I think I'll start with the 16th verse. And we covered a continued interest in your prayers while we endeavor to